We will think about a number of points from that we've heard in Matthew chapter 2 about the wise men. To start, I reread just verse 9 and 10. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The narrative of the wise men is really clear as it just is in its own words. And yet it brings many questions or possibilities to our minds today and actually throughout Christianity. We know there were three gifts. Were there three wise men? It's plural. Or was it two wise men with three gifts? Or three wise men and three gifts? Or four or five or ten wise men with three gifts? There were certain names for the wise men that came up in the history of the church, actually not until the 5th and 6th century. So they added names to the wise men. Later on, they're recognized and called kings, which the Greek in the New Testament really doesn't call them kings. They're wise men, magi. And what was that star? And there's various thinking about different possibilities of what that special star was. Just when our son-in-law, Scott, and our daughter, Becky, and their family were staying with us a week ago, Scott said, "So, Dad," he's a Lutheran pastor too, said, "What do you think of that star? Which theory do you hold to?" He's just drawing me into a conversation. I said, "Well, whatever it was, God sent it." And so there's so many fascinating things about this narrative, what happened here. What we do know is that without God's leading and without his power, without his mercy, the Magi, the people in Jerusalem, all of them would be lost. God was leading them. We remember that this is the absolute necessity. For instance, in Ephesians 2, Paul wrote, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." All people are like that. Following the power of the prince of this air, following the devil, without God's mercy and grace in our lives. The wise men, without God's mercy, were like that. King Herod, I'll say about that in a moment, he was still like that. And others too. But Paul said, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." This is God's grace. The wise men got to know the Christ. It's God's grace that sends a special star. It's really maybe a better verb there. God gives a special star. It's a gift of his grace. It's interesting, there's these various theories about what the star was. Was it a special constellation? Was it a comet? What was it? And the two commentators I often go to, both Dr. Lenski, an old Lutheran commentary, and Dr. Gibbs, a modern commentary, and Matthew, a Lutheran commentator, they both say, Matthew describes it as a miraculous star. It does things that are not normal for a star to do. God provided it. So both of the commentators say that I often look and say, this was a miracle. So I have my answer for Scott, my son-in-law. According to Dr. Gibbs, that's a special, special creation star. But whatever it was, God provided it. God showed the wise men they need to get going, that there's something going on, and they come into Jerusalem. And what caught me in studying the text is that Herod called all the scribes and chief priests together. The entire community was called together to answer King Herod's question, where is the Christ to be born? Do you see what's happening here? God led these wise men into Jerusalem, stirring up the pot that there is a Christ to be born. And it isn't interesting that Herod, who doesn't want any Christ, in fact wants to kill the Christ. How in the world does he think he's going to kill the Christ of God? The one who's prophesied through all the Old Testament, he thinks he's going to kill him? Well, Herod's one of the ones, as Paul wrote, following the powers of the prince of the air. He's just set against Christ. But in his being set against Christ, he calls together all the scribes and all the high priests and says, okay, these guys are looking for the new king to be born. Where is the Christ to be born? And they come upon passages. Now, God has alerted all of Jerusalem. The Christ is born. Listen, even King Herod takes it seriously. Take this seriously. The Christ is to be born, and it's in Bethlehem. That is God's grace to the top leaders of all of Israel, to the top theologians in all of Israel. The Christ is born. Your king doesn't want that, but he's calling you together, and he wants the Bible passages. Be aware, the Christ is born. Now, when the Magi go, then this star, it comes and leads them very directly to where Jesus was staying. And now a little bit older, I sometimes say toddler Jesus. We don't know how old, 6 months, a year, 2 months, we're not sure. But leads him to the house where he was staying with Mary and Joseph. And so the star again appears, and what does it say? It says that they rejoice with exceedingly great joy. And we can literally say, because this is how the Greek puts it, mega joy. It's the mega joy. Why? God's still with them. This star from the Creator is now leading them again. Who knows what they thought was going on in Jerusalem? But it was a big deal because Herod gathered them all together and now he meets with them secretly. Wow, what's going on with all this? But okay, we're going to Bethlehem, like the scriptures say. And God's still here. He shows us a star again, and they rejoiced. When they came into the house, they worshiped him. This term can sometimes mean like reverence, like you reverence a king. But it also means worship, like you worship God. It can be translated either way. Commentators argue about which it is. Come on, guys. And maybe gals, commentators. This God who led them to see the Christ child, and they heard who this was in the prophecies and the Christ child, they say, oh, Jerusalem believes this, and wow, that's who we're going to. Now the star leads us to the exact house. It's not just reverence. It's worship. This is God. And then, however old Jesus was, a month, 2 months, a year, whatever it was, it says there in the text very specifically, they don't give the gifts to the Mary and Joseph, to the parents. They give the gifts to him, the child. They really believed in him, and knew they were being led to him, the child. These wise men were quite astounding, and they had this faith that God was showing them and leading them through the star and the scriptures that they received. And then God even leads them to help baby Jesus. You know, we say sometimes, well, they helped them go to Egypt because they gave them all this gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they got some money. Could be true, probably is. But God enabled them to even serve him in a very direct way. Don't go back to Herod. Go back another way. And by doing that, they served Jesus and the whole plan of salvation. For the devil himself was driving Herod to destroy Jesus in his young, early age. But God said no. And he told the Magi, go another way. And then he tells Joseph, flee, quick. They serve Jesus. They worship Jesus, and they serve him. Just a couple of thoughts. God calls all people to believe in Jesus. This is known as kind of the Gentile Christmas. The Gentiles, the faraway people, the people who weren't of the land of Judah, they come to worship from far away. God actually witnessed and bore witness to King Herod himself. This guy was really wicked. He killed two of his sons. He killed one of his wives. All Jerusalem was probably disturbed in part because they wouldn't know what he would do. Well, we know what he would do. Kill all the young boys, two and under. That's how wicked this guy was. But God witnessed to Herod. God had Herod thinking his own plan, but it was God's plan. He would gather all the chief priests and all the scribes, and there would be a unison. They all agreed, the top people in all of Israel said, the baby is to be born in Bethlehem, and it looks like the baby is born. Herod, pay attention, God is telling. Herod, pay attention. Don't hate. Be saved. The grace he gives even to Herod, and the grace he gives to all the people waiting for the Savior to be born. We also see that God's word taught those wise men to go to Bethlehem, taught them that this would be the shepherd of God's people, taught all the scribes and Pharisees, listen to the God's word, what this baby is about. We see also in this that God's plan cannot be disrupted by evil. However evil and however powerful Herod is, it cannot stop God's plan. When they gave the gifts to the baby Jesus, to the young Jesus, to the however old he was, they gave the gifts to him. And it helps us think about this. Our gifts of service, our gifts in money, our gifts in different things, our talents and time and treasure, we often say, are to Jesus. Even helping others are to Jesus. And we worship and serve him. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks that we have seen through your word that the wise men came to you, the wise men believed in you, the wise men served you. Help us also to believe and serve and worship you. Help us to listen to your word about what it says about you. Help us not to fear the evil power set against you, but rather know that you have overcome all evil and that you take care of us and you show us how to serve you. All these things, dear Jesus, we pray to you and to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.